You're listening to Control Talk Now, the Smart Buildings Podcast.
With the man, the myth, the legend.
The legend.
Ken Smyers and Eric Stromquist.
Control Talk Now, the weekly podcast with building automation and smart building control news you can use.
Now, here's Eric.
All right. Hi, welcome to Control Talk Now, your smart buildings videocast and podcast for the week ending November 22nd, 2015. My name is Eric Stromquist, and we talk about all things smart controls, HVAC controls, and building automation controls. But the only way any of this makes sense is when the man, the myth, the legend, the one, the only, Kenny Smyers, my co-host from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, comes on the show and puts it all in perspective. Kenny, welcome to the show. Big dog.
Thank you much, Eric. Thank you very much. I can't. It's hard to live up to that kind of an introduction because I just try to do what we intend to do every week, and that's bring the control trends community up to date with the news of the week. And there's so much going on. It's just like you got to pick some kind of a sequence to deliver the goods because there's a lot going on with the nominations. The most important week has, we saw it last week where we had our end of our nomination period. An amazing response. We got some great results, and that's exciting. We need to talk about that. We also need to talk about the new technology that supported that. Your ability to do the streaming created a very, very unique first time on Control Trends, maybe the first time in our industry where we're doing stuff, pushing the envelope and sharing information in real time. And you also did a training thing that we'll talk about later too. And then we transitioned with the state of affairs going on around the world. We always talk about our common currencies, buildings. Our common currency is pushing air and water through buildings and making sure we do that as efficiently as possible and create the operational savings that are commensurate with the abilities that we have with the IoT now. But cybersecurity seems to be coming into a full court press for everyone to get involved. And we have a couple of posts, so we're not going to go through the individual itemized postings as they happen chronologically. Rather, we're going to group with our primary feature, our primary theme, our primary trend of the week being cybersecurity.
Well, absolutely, because we got a really special guest coming on, Fred Gordy. He is like the cyber cop in our industry. Fred's one of our favorite people. And Fred used to be with McKinney's. He's with SmartCore right now. And so we'll have Fred later on. So like Kenny says, we're going to group the posts a little bit differently this week. And we will be a little out of chronological order for those people who like to follow things chronologically. But Kenny, let's talk a little bit about the nominations, baby. I tell you what, it was a big night. You came to Atlanta. We did an announcement of the winners. I should say the finalists for the 2015 Control Trends Awards. As far as I'm concerned, man, they are all winners. And that was kind of fun. We came in, we did a live broadcast, and we rebroadcasted that several times over the course of the week. And that post is now up as just a video post, sort of an on-demand, so you can quick and go through that. But a lot of surprises, Kenny. I tell you what, it's sort of interesting as this thing has morphed over the last 4 years. We got a lot of people that have sort of embraced the Control Trends Awards. They're really taking it seriously, really energized their network, have come on with Control Trends to make sure that the global Control Trends community has found them. And I think a great example of that is Sierra Monitor and our friend Varun Najarov. Varun had reached out to us earlier in the year after the last Control Trends Award, said he wanted to get involved. Consequently, he created a show called Network Conversations with Varun Najarov, which has been a big success on Control Trends and our community. And he did not have a lot of exposure within the BAS community. And I think through Control Trends, he has found an audience. And I think this is evidenced, Kenny, by the fact that they made the finals in several categories. So congratulations to Varun, and it's got to be very, very competitive. A lot of surprises, and a lot of people that are just absolute rock stars in our eyes, unfortunately, weren't quite able to pull it off this year. So it's gotten really competitive. And so I say anybody that made the finals or anybody that got on the nomination ballot, as far as I'm concerned, Kenny, is a winner.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those roller coasters where you have emotional. A lot of people were delighted. We got a lot of really positive emails about the whole presentation, the nominations. They were excited, and you know, they've been looking forward as an organization now to compete for the actual final voting. And there were some people that didn't make it that I don't think had the he didn't have the engines behind him like they used to have, you know. So we can't overemphasize the importance of the social media aspects in your network. You got to go out there and you got to contact your folks and say, hey, look, please get on your internet and register and then nominate us for the following categories. And the people that did that had an incredibly successful, result. The people that didn't do it, I'm afraid that, you know, we actually got some unhappy people that wanted to know why, what's going on. And because they're very well known in the industry, but they didn't participate in the concept of control guns.
Yeah, very, very well known, Kenny, and very deserving. So I think, you know, this is our fourth year going into this, and it seems like, you know, that there's sort of a formula for people that do well. And one of that, like you said, is they energize their own social media community. They get out and said, hey, we're nominated for this. Could you please vote for us? And then the second piece seems to be the people, Kenny, that actually come on Control Trends, get exposure on Control Trends, do really well too. It seems like you have to have both of those to be successful. And if you think about it, it kind of makes sense because a lot of our voting community now is from overseas. And so they might not know who you are, but if they see you on Control Trends and get a feel for who you are, they're more likely to vote for you. At least that's been our experience in the past.
And that's exactly it, Eric. We have had a concept that wasn't popular, that there was a popularity contest, but it isn't a contest. In other words, everybody that's involved is a legitimate manufacturer, solution, or person. And the thing is now is the scope grew. And so, what, like you said, the people that are paying attention to the Control Trends community might not be your next door neighbor, might not be your same state. They might be interested in you because you've introduced yourself and your concept and your product now, and they're interested. We know that we've had the people that were involved says that they have new customers now. They have they've actually registered new distributorships around in the contiguous states. They're selling products to the systems integrators that didn't know they existed before. So there was this exchange, cross-pollinization of information and ideas, and that's truly what we were after, and that's what we're getting. But unfortunately, I don't think some of the folks that the old stalwarts of the industry aren't understanding that, and so they're missing out on the opportunity to reinvigorate, renew, regenerate some collateral that does all the above. It introduces your products, your people, who your heavy lifters are for your technical services, and introduces them to the Control Trends community on a regular basis, and it's like a pulse. So the more you pulse, the more you share, the more you invigorate people, the more they know your products, and then people take that into heart and vote.
Yeah, and you and I both experienced this. When we first got in the industry, you had access to people. You could go into hospitals and school boards, and you could get in. People had time to talk to you if you were a sales rep. And my biggest expense as a business guy right now, Kenny, is my outside salespeople. You have to have them. But when they are, when you have them cold calling, it's a huge expense and not a real efficient way to do it. So one of the things that's happened with Control Trends is we've given people the opportunity to be found. And this has happened numerous times with numerous vendors have come to us and they've gotten leads off of Control Trends for people that they might not have ever found. So, part of what we're offering is the opportunity to be found. And if you think about the investment you make to come on Control Trends, do some interviews and stuff like that, with the possible returns that people are starting to see, it's a great risk-reward ratio. So it's cool stuff there. But Kenny, I tell you what, one of our most interesting categories I'd like to take a minute and talk about is the Control Trends Systems Integrator of the Year Award. We had huge, huge response on that. It's a new category. We have a lot of systems integrators that are big fans of Control Trends, and they sort of reached out and said, why don't we get a category? And we did that. And Kenny, I think it was the most, and we didn't know who to put down. So we had the other, if you voted, there was a place you could write in people. And when people would get written in, we would add them to the list. And Kenny, that list just, it ballooned out, didn't it?
Yeah, over 70 contractors were put in for nominations or were nominated for the Control Trends Systems Integrator of the Year. And again, I hope it doesn't sound, that we're overriding the theme here, but the whole idea of the Control Trends community was to create a global community where we share, collaborate, serve as an information pivot point, introduce people in the business to the other people in the business, and that happens locally, right? Because you want to think local, but act global. And so what's happening is the global aspect of this thing took a very interesting spiral and increased exponentially. We have contractors in here now from countries I can't even pronounce. And it means that they're actually watching, listening, they're evaluating the products. And then we're talking about the big boys. You know, every one of these guys knows who Tritium Niagara is. They know who Siemens is. They know who Honeywell is. They know who Johnson is. They know who Delta is. They know who Schneider Electric is. Because in one way, shape, or form, they're using that, no matter where they're at. They're, you know, it's ubiquitous. So now what's happening is you've got guys that are the local champions, you know, the ones that are doing the work, you know, for their areas of the world. And they're very happy with what they're doing, and they love their jobs, and they like the idea that they have a forum now to bring information to a you know, common point. We have contractors, for instance, and you know, forgive me for not having such fluidity, but we had Arden Engineering and Automation, PVTL Limited, from Punjab, Pakistan. We had Verga de la Porte Shanja from the UAE, United Arab Emirates. We had Jabal al-Halam from Medina, Saudi Arabia, and Australia, we have InScope Building Technologies. UK, we have Keep Keen Controls, we have MT West. Now, when we vetted these things, you know, to see if they have websites and trying to, you know, make sure that we're not getting spoofed here, we're finding out that these guys are legitimate players that are the local. They have relationships with Johnson, Siemens, Honeywell. They are the local installers and service people for various parts of the world. So not to get overboard here, but their impact has been felt this year. It was probably really just kind of a, I want to say a surprise, but we didn't realize the impact that people have, that the internet has. We're still learning about the internet. We're still learning about how cool it is, but it has an amazing feature that you can't tell what's going to happen. You put it out there, people watch it, they listen to it, and then they respond to it, and boom, you've got people making our world more interesting. You know, something.
Kenny, I think again, you're absolutely right. And just to reiterate, I think part of anybody's market strategy now has to be two things: one, going out and finding customers, but two, putting yourself in a position to be found. So, Kenny, let's walk through our finalists real quick for the automation building automation integrator of the year award, because some of these folks we don't know. And we want to reach out to you and let you know we'd love to have you come on Control Trends, because we want to make sure that the global Control Trends community knows about you so they can make an informed decision when they vote.
Okay, Eric. Well, we have, in no specific order, we have Navitas Systems Integrations from Plymouth, Massachusetts. We have Alpha Controls and Services from Illinois. We have Control Systems Consultants from Terrell, Texas. We have McKinney's from Atlanta. We have Automation Integrated from Oklahoma City. We have ATS from Seattle. We have Hepta Systems, North America. I think that they're in Canada, but they're also in North America. It's just they're one of the bigger companies, and I think they put down North America now because they're actively involved in the North American market. But we had some really, really close people that came in, and you know, it's kind of sad. Not sad. That's poor choice of words. It's just disheartening that, you know, people are get real close. We had a couple companies in the European people, but the host out of Norway had a huge following. You know, Alpha Controls.
The Hoist, is that Runar Soli?
And is it Hoist? Yeah, Hoist. I'm sorry.
Yeah, cool. Hi, Runar.
Yep. So, you know, just hats off to you guys, and please don't be disheartened. Get more people involved, because we want to know what you're doing. And, you know, we have future plans for Control Trends, where we're going to go more mobile and be more global, and you know, so then this all make better sense probably. But we're doing some pioneer work here, and we're going through some of the you know, making adjustments to the impact of some of this new work. So, but it was just a tremendous response, and it's exciting as can be. And now we have to transition. Now we have to focus on the people that were nominated, because now these people went through some pretty good competition. I mean, not pretty good, but went through the industry's best competition as viewed through the controls, you know, as the Control Trends lens, the Control Trends community's lens of who they saw and how they felt. And they made their preferences through the voting process. And now we have probably one of the best all-star lists of, you know, the people, the heroes of our industry, the people that really, you know, are active and engaged and making things happen. Because, I mean, it's a who's who's list of 2015 Control Trends, you know, nominations that are now Now they're going to compete for the final trophy. And again, as you always say, please send your stuff in. The more ready to go it is, the more likely it's going to get posted immediately. If not, please set up for an interview, because that whole concept actually results in a very, very positive. There's a correlation between what you put in and what you get out.
So listen, I'm trying to get you a new email address that people can send information to, Kenny. I'm trying to get you man, myth, the legend at controltrend@gmail.com. But no, until I get that, send your information to controltrends@gmail.com. But Kenny's right. We know some of you guys. We know Big Poppy, Little Poppy from Hepta Systems. Those guys just rock and roll. We know McKinney's. They're here in Atlanta. They're a Snyder Electric dealer. And we'll get a little more information on them, because we'll have Fred Gordy on in the show in a little bit. Fred used to be with McKinney's, so they can give us some information on McKinney's. We know a little bit about Automation Integration out of Oklahoma City, Sean and Steve and Brian Lovinggood and those guys, big link spring dealer. And then the rest of you guys, we want to know about you. So please reach out to us. We'd love to get you on an interview, or if you have a promotional video or anything on your company, we'd love to. I think Navitas is one of John Donahue's customers, if I'm not mistaken, up in Massachusetts. So JD,
well, he probably had a lot to do with them winning Distributor of the Year, Honeywell Distributor of the Year.
They could very well be. So JD, maybe you want to reach out too, and we'd love to maybe get you on, and maybe you could talk a little bit about them. So for those of you guys who integrators that are working through your local distributor, have them reach out to us too. And I tell you what, because it's going to be a party in Orlando, and we're going to be celebrating the first annual Control Trends System Integrator of the Year. So that's going to be big stuff, Kenny Spires. So, Kenny, what happens next, big dog?
Well, we were going to, I think the bulk of our show is going to come
through. No. What I meant, what happens next? Let me do that again.
Oh, I see.
What happens next? So the nominations are in, Kenny. The nomination period is over. We've got our finalists. What happens next?
Well, next we're going to be sending out the voting. For finalists that will now compete for the actual category champion. The Control Trends, we have emails from everybody registered with the nomination process, so you'll get an email that'll tell you to vote, and then the people that haven't or didn't participate in a nomination, you're not disqualified, you can still vote. You'll come to the Control Trends website, and then on the right-hand side, you'll have a direct connect to a voting ballot, so you'll have to register. We have to validate through emails, but we don't share that information. And then you'll vote, and then those votes will become that process will continue to January 15th, and then that's it. Then we tally the votes, and then we'll see you at the Control Trends Award Show.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Kenny, my suspicions are the ballots probably won't go out till probably the second week in December. So we'll have about a month for you to vote. I think the most important thing we want to do is between now and then is make sure that as many of the nominees have the opportunity to get on the show or get their information on Control Trends so that they can hopefully bring home the trophy. All right, Big Doug. Well, you said we rock and roll. We had a couple of good posts this week.
We did. We had some informational training stuff. First up, we have EZIO certification training in December at Cochran Supply in Michigan. And this is EZIO training. It's going to be both the introductory course, certification course, and then there will be a subsequent advanced course. And we have the direct links there. Mike Marston will be in town to do it. Cochran Tech Services will be hosting December 1st and 2nd in Madison Heights, Michigan, EZIO certification course. They have seats remaining. December 3rd, 2015 at same location, EZIO advanced certification. Again, there's places still open. But Cochran Tech Services is dedicated to developing expert systems integrators. Through their comprehensive world-class training programs, you will gain the knowledge you need to succeed, and many of the training classes can be customized and held at your site or at their training facilities, whichever meets your needs. So well done to Cochran Tech Services.
Yeah, absolutely. So what two things are Cochran Supply known for? Well, one is obviously the great training they do, right?
Right, they're consistent performers in Distributor of the Year in both Vicon, Johnson, and Honeywell. So, I mean, they're just leading.
All that stuff. You know, they're also the home of Scott Cochran. Hi, Scott Cochran. But what's the most beautiful thing we know about Cochran Supply?
The co-MC, of course.
Of course, Miss Kimberly Brown. So Kimberly will be at the Control Trends Awards again this year, helping Mark Petock. We got a lot of feedback, Kim. You got quite a fan base out there. And, well, they just can't wait to see what you're going to wear this year. You were absolutely stunning in the blue dress last year. And they were wondering why we didn't play Devil with the blue dress on. But, hey, there you go. So, yeah, check that training out for sure. Scotty and those guys do a great job with the training, and those guys just rock and roll. What's next, Kenny?
All right, Eric. Next up was we had some just, you know, standard posts where we had guys that are still always pushing the envelope. We have Link Springs webinar series, professional services, 30 minutes with Link Spring with the new Onyx.
Pronounce Onyx. Yeah.
Well, my daughter's dog's Onyx, and I just never saw it spelled quite this way, but so I apologize for that snafu on the pronunciation. But again, Link Spring's going down to business. They're really proud, and they're leading with their Onyx products and platform. This is session 6, the overview. Again, the IoT world is increasingly populated with smart equipment, systems, and devices. And as this growth continues and the rise of connected devices continues, and there's access to greater connected intelligence, their platform, the Onyx platform, will get you there. And basically, it's co-delivered through the E2E. The edge-to-edge is an ecosystem for IoT that enables smart systems, smart devices, intelligent equipment, and cloud services delivery across key market segments and business verticals. So well done, Mark Petok and LinkSpring.
That's cool stuff. So their EDE, I think it's edge-to-enterprise, is something. These guys are really putting everything from the supply with their Connex energy, monitoring that, to all the way down to the device level and everything in between. So they seem to like they're coming up with a very comprehensive package all the way around, Kenny. And again, one of our finalists was Automation Integration out of Oklahoma City. And Automation Integrated or Integration? I always get it wrong. Sorry, Sean and Steve. But
Automation Integrated.
Integrated, yep. So we'll probably hear a lot more about that through those guys if we get them on the show.
Well, then, again, it was the why don't you tell us a little bit about the technologies involved. We had an announcement that the 2015 Control Trends Awards finalists will be announced in a live broadcast at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And it was really cool. And it was fun to be a part of it. But just so people can see how we're progressing, why don't you explain the details behind that and the assistance there, the amazing support.
Well, I tell you what, it was we decided to do things a little bit different because the Control Trends Awards were trying to generate a lot of excitement about it. And that is our Academy Award. So rather than just put a video up and write who the winners were, we decided we would live stream the finalists. So it was kind of like had that feel of you tuned in at 8 o'clock, you got to see who was on there. We rebroadcasted it over and over. But it was kind of a cool way to do it. And we're going to start doing more live streaming of different things so that it's almost like a Control Trends TV, if you will. And we use that technology a little later in the week with J2Fin Innovation, which we'll talk about here in a minute. But it was exciting. We got a lot of positive feedback. People were watching. They got to sort of get their popcorn out, and it's kind of like watching the Academy Awards or something, which is what we were going for.
I thought it was an excellent preview. And we got a handful of emails that just said it was really cool, and they were actually watching it and doing high fives when they had a positive announcement, yeah. And they made the nomination. Which is really cool to hear. That kind of feedback just really makes it seem like, that they appreciate, people appreciate the extra efforts you go through to make it exciting, to make it feel larger than life. But it was very exciting for me too. And I know that, the next phase is even going to be more exciting because now it really and truly, it becomes a competition and it's and everybody's a winner. So I think to make the nominations, to make that list that we have published on the Control Trends website is quite an accomplishment. There's no losers because now all you get to do is have fun. You get to energize and pause and plan your next media information, some of the collateral you generate on behalf of Control Trends Awards so that you can get the due notice from your people, your customers, your supporters. They vote, and it's just – but you're going to be there, and it's going to be very exciting. So looking, it just keeps building. That's why December is such an exciting month. And then finally the show comes and it's in a great location. Yeah. So it's going to be a heck of a night.
Yeah, and then we did actually record the broadcast. So that's actually up now. So you can go to that post and actually see what the broadcast looked like if you missed it. So it's pretty exciting. I mean, people are really impressed with your ability to shoot baskets with paper wads, man. You did great with that. So we were
You were the envelope thrower of the night.
Yeah, we were slinging a lot of paper around.
It was fun because, you know, I do want to recognize the two guys that made some of that possible, and that was Rob Allen and Michael Bonner.
You know,
The technical competence in these guys is pretty impressive because that's, again, that's not their full-time job.
Yeah.
But, the enthusiasm they had, these ideas and suggestions were very, critical to a good presentation.
Awesome.
All right, Eric. Next up, again, we've got some bread and butter stuff here. We have Sierra Monitor Corporation. They provided a case study on telecom site remote monitoring. And again, this is one of the most ubiquitous applications. Everybody has done, has bid on or done work or contracting services for everything that's out there that makes our IoT possible is not magic. There's telecommunication companies that house their equipment and unmanned sites. These sites have issues with them, whether it's temperature, humidity, toxic gases that could build up from batteries. But basically what they did was take an in-depth look at the controlled environment vaults, CEVs, which are walk-in cabinets in cell site buildings. So uptime, of course, for these communication companies is vital. It's revenue. Downtime is lost revenue. So each structure contains highly sophisticated communication equipment to deliver services rapidly and reliability to customers. And then we can see what Sierra Monitor does to give us insight and products. So they have some communication recommendations, some network information, but they also have, on a more serious note, the gas and fire detection. Hazardous gases found in telecom sites include combustible gases, methane, hydrogen sulfide, and carbon monoxide, which would, of course, lead to oxygen deficiency. So they just talk about some good things and how to approach it. I think, what a typical structure looks like, typical, deployment of equipment, gas sensors, and how you integrate them, and just give your customers a centralized mobile remote communication is an awesome application and, an area where we all play in. So Sierra Monitoring will be at the AHR show. In fact, they're going to be at the booth 1159, and they're looking forward to meeting more people in the control trends community and in the HVAC business. So make sure you visit them at the AHR show.
And they'll also be at the 2015 Control Trends Awards. They're up for several awards. So really thank a lot of this company, Kenny. They do a lot of great stuff, and really like Varun Najarov.
All right, continuing with our technology WizKids down there in Atlanta, tell us about the Strong Quiz Company hosting the Lunch and Learn for FinStack.
Well, I tell you what, we had Scott Mensch in town from J2 Innovation, and I tell you what, Kenny, he rocked and rolled, man. We got a lot of really exciting stuff that we'll be posting from Scott's visit. But Scott came in to do a Lunch and Learn, Kenny, for our integrators. He did a fantastic job. But kind of what made this very interesting was that we actually live streamed this. We had 46 different viewers from across the world. I know for a fact we had a couple of our customers that had rooms full of like 6, 7, 8 integrators. So we really were able to reach out and touch a lot of people with this live stream. We recorded the video. We will be posting that on Control Trends, so you'll get a chance to actually see it. But again, congratulations to Mike Bonner and Rob Allen for doing a fantastic job with that, and to Scott Mensch. I'll tell you that FinBuilder is something else, and so definitely check this out once we get the video posted, because I think it could be a game changer.
Very good. I was on to it. I was very impressed. All right, Eric, the final post is Tree Sullivan puts a full court press on Cortex Silicon Valley message, Just Do It. Of course, Just Do It comes from Nike. It comes from Michael Jordan. And she makes an interesting analogy about, the smart buildings technology isn't being adopted at the pace that's expected. Why aren't more property owners getting off the sidelines? And she uses the analogy of Chicago Bulls basketball star Michael Jordan, how he spurred a lot of sports watchers to become doers and just get off the couch and start moving. So she does a nice job of covering the RealComm's annual corporate real estate conference, Cortec. We have a video there of Jim Young giving us a 4-minute overview of Cortec. But they visited some amazing places, Stanford University, Cisco, Google campuses, went to a football stadium, Santa Clara, and they're talking about now that the C-level chairing sections have to take advantage, they have to be the leaders to get people to move. We've got the technology, basically, why aren't what is the backwards? What's stopping people from adopting and really taking advantage of the IoT savings and operational savings? And it's a great post. We have a link directly to Therese's website, buildingcontext.me, and it's a very interesting article because she makes some great analogies. But why are people slow to deploy intelligent building technology? That's a great question. And she believes that the superstars, the C-level superstars, are going to be like Michael Jordan, and they're going to encourage their organizations and their companies to just do it. Just get involved and start realizing the savings.
I really like Therese. We've known Therese for a while. She's been on the show. We had an interview with her a couple weeks back. Kenny, to me, she's like a journalist. She's like the journalist in our industry, right? I mean, she does sort of the investigative reporting. The way she writes is phenomenal. So
she has an amazing background in so many different fields. So yeah. It lends itself readily to that kind of, the roundedness of connecting dots, where sometimes you can be a great person or know a lot about IT. You might know a lot about building management and building automation. You might know a lot about real estate. And very few people, though, have the rotary experience to go around and make those all make sense, you know, right, on the same level, especially not the sea level.
Well, talking about Kenny, about experience and being experts in your field, I am absolutely thrilled about our guest this week. Tell our listeners a little bit about who we've got on the show.
All right, our next guest is a regular contributor to Control Trends. He's one of our favorite people. His most recent contributions have been, Are You Ready to React or Preact to Cybersecurity Threats? Cyber Legacy, which is an in-depth view into the current administration's ambitious goals to promote cybersecurity. I mean, he is just a well-known person in the business because he's crossing the T. He's an IT expert. He's a building management expert. And now he's directed a lot of his attention to cybersecurity. His portfolios include military bases, internet data centers, national retail chains, international media companies, REITs, and research labs, to name a few. He's contributed to the Wall Street Journal, CNBC, Fox, HPAC Engineering, Retrofit Magazine, BuildingContext.me, Healthcare Facilities Today, and BOMA Facilities Net. An incredible guy, a true expert, a great guy. He's taken us a long way with Control Trends. We'd like to welcome Mr. Fred Gordy to the show.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate the opportunity to be on again. You know, it's always a pleasure to sit down and talk with you guys. I mean, you share my passion, and I am very thankful for the opportunity to be with you.
Well, Fred, we are so pleased to have you. And listen, for our audience, inquiring minds are going to want to know, that's quite an array of guitars you got behind us. It seems like you have more than one passion. So tell us a little about the music before we get started here.
Well, I hate to say it, but I've been playing for about almost 40 years, and I'm predominantly a bass player. I do play little bit of guitar, but yeah, that's my second passion. Well, it's actually my first. I got to say, if I had my choices, I like sitting around and playing. But anyway, a couple of my little babies.
Awesome. Well,
you have quite a few babies there, Fred. Quite a few babies. So, man, thanks for taking some time to be with us today.
Well, thank you for the opportunity again to join you guys.
Well, Fred, I think we put a post up this week called the Internet Crime Complaint Center. IC3 warns of cyber attacks focused on law enforcement and public officials. And that came from the U.S. CERT, the United States Computer Emergency Readiness Team. And that's one of the things that you've turned us on to. You turned us on to the sources of updated critical information concerning cybersecurity. What do you think about, and also to tie that into the administration, what's going on now? Are we finally responding fast enough, important enough to the cybersecurity threats?
Wow. That's a very difficult question to answer, and let me tell you why. You know, as you guys noted, I mean, I put the thing up just recently about how the White House put an aggressive moratorium towards all the government networks and the control, and this includes the control systems, that they needed to basically document and see how their systems were set up. And, you know, the government moves pretty slow, but in this particular memorandum or moratorium, it was basically, you've got to get it done by November the 13th. Well, that's come and gone. So I haven't seen any results on that. So that's the government side. On the business side of things, what I'm seeing is the overall view is we've got to do something, but it's almost like a Chinese fire drill or Keystone Cop kind of thing. People, and I don't mean that in a negative way, but I mean, people are just kind of scrambling to see what they can do to make themselves more secure, but also to protect themselves from a liability standpoint. And then when you move over into the security realm of physical or control system type things, you know, Mark Petock, friend of mine, he says it, I believe it. I've been kind of looking at in 2016, I think what we're going to see is we're going to actually see one of these events where somebody's going to attack a building, and not just for the sake of going in to use it as a pivot point to get over to the corporate network, but rather to do some physical damage and possibly, you know, human injury, loss or life. There's been a couple of situations in the power grid and then also in oil and gas. And interestingly enough, something just came to light a few months ago. If you guys have ever seen, I can't think of the Russian, it's like the Russian Hoover Dam. It's a huge it generates a lot of electricity for Russia. It looks just like the Hoover Dam. And one of their centrifuges got carried away and threw one of the 13,000-pound pumps up through the floor and killed 75 people. Well, that was about 4 or 5 years ago, and now they're going back and looking at it, and there's some suspicion that that was actually from a threat actor.
Wow.
So, you know.
Well, it's amazing. Loss of life is critical, and like I say, I'm kind of just going through the litany of posts you've made here, and when something that happens of that nature, what can make this thing go faster? What can accelerate the response from businesses and from the government? Is it going to be cyber insurance?
Well, okay, to use that for an example, let's let's just say I have some pretty good knowledge about some of the companies that are doing data mining. And if you're not familiar with that, what data mining is these guys basically scrape the web and they look for trends and they look for, you know, things to help businesses grow their business. I mean, you know, what are people talking about? What are people doing? Well, data mining companies are now beginning to get into using things like Shodan and Census. It's CENSYS. That's another one. You'll see me talking about that a little bit more Control Trends. But anyway, what the insurance industry is doing is they're actually using this data, or these data miners are using Shodan and some of these other ones, and they're collecting data. So just like, you know how when you go get a physical exam to get life insurance?
Sure.
They'll look at your medical history and they'll say, well, you know, your rate's going to be X because you do these type of activities, or, you know, you're not in the best of health. Or in the case of, like, if you're a skydiver, well, if you get killed skydiving, you're not going to get your beneficiaries are not going to get the money. Same thing here is if you are a company and you apply for cyber insurance, and they can pretty much pull up a list and say, well, we see that 10 of your buildings are exposed, and so therefore your rate's going to be extremely high, or if the event happens through something other than your control system, they may pay the claim. So yes, insurance is driving it. And I also have had the opportunity recently, I'm working with three different banking companies. One of them is really large and the other ones are fairly large. And those guys got it. They're like, we've got to do something. So we're doing assessments, we're going through their systems, and we're helping them secure them.
Well, Fred, speaking of assessments, you put together a really cool poll or survey for people to sort of gauge where they're at. Speak a bit about that, if you would.
Well, what I did was I sat down, and I'm coming at this strictly from the building engineer side. Yes, we need to know the IT information, but the reality is, you know, if you put it in IT speak, these guys are going to go, I don't know what they're talking about, and they're not going to fill it out. So I spent about 3 months working on this thing to tailor it so that the words, the questions that are asked are in non-IT speak, and they ask things about certain things like, you know, how is your password expiration policies, you know, obviously, are you exposed? Do you know if you're exposed? I mean, I've got answers in there that say, or choices that say, I don't know. Well, that's a really bad answer. You got to know. So anyway, so this is a 16 questions. It's by no means a, you know, end all be all. It's a beginning step. It's for the company to sit back and answer these questions. Have your building engineers got to answer the questions. The one that are actually using the system. They get done with the 16 question. It takes maybe 10 minutes. And then we built on the back end a threat assessment scoring. And what that does is it tells you overall how you are. The higher the number, the worse off you are. But then each one of the questions are also categorized so that you can say, excuse me, these are things you needed to do last week. You should have already done them. Here's some things you need to do ASAP. Here's some that you need to budget for, and then these are okay. So once you've done that, and whether you hire SmartCore or whoever to come in and take a look at your network and your control system, at least you know, okay, these are some low-hanging fruit. These are some things that I can get taken care of fairly quickly that while they're not going to make me 100% safe, there is no 100% safe, it's probably going to knock you further down the field, so to speak. And I know you guys have heard me say this. You don't about the two guys running from the bear. The one guy sits down, takes his shoes off. The other guy says, what are you doing? He said, well, I run faster without my shoes on. And the guy says, well, you can't outrun a bear. And he says, all I got to do is outrun you. Sad to say, but I mean, if you have a breach and they come in and look and they see that you are making forward steps, and that's what Marty Edwards, the director of ICS CERT, told me. He said, as long as you're making forward steps, that goes a long way in the event of a breach.
Well, you know, Fred, I think one of the most important things you've done as far as education to our industry is that you've taken a great deal of time and effort to extricate IT and OT. In our worlds where we're seeing, like you're saying about the CATA, this applies to what we're calling operational technology, which is basically things that pertain to the building automation and building management. Could you just kind of, go into more detail of the difference between the two. And like you said, so that when people talk IT, our people shut down. The people are in our organizations, they don't follow it. But we concern ourselves with operational technology. Give us a better definition of that operational technology and the vulnerabilities that are different from IT.
Okay. All right, in a nutshell, and I'm very quick, would be if you're talking OT, you're talking about things that do things. Like a post that I put on Control Trends, talking about we were IoT before IoT was cool. We were doing building control stuff. So building control, or excuse me, OT means things like field controllers for central plants. You're talking about the switches that are involved in networking the system together. You've got, of course, the supervisory controllers. It could be, you know, this is not to pick on any particular brand, but it could be Tritium Jace, it could be Snyder, it could be, you know, any of them. But all those pieces parts make up the OT space, along with, of course, sensors, power monitoring, so on and so forth. So basically, like I said, if it does something, then it's considered OT. Now, the vulnerabilities, I'm going to use an example. And one of the things I have to give my buddies Billy and Terry the credit for this is think bad, do good. Is you got to get inside the mind of these guys. So for instance, data centers, they're very secure in the servers and all the things that they're providing to co-locate or to let people run their websites and that kind of thing. However, their control systems are on their own separate network, and those control systems typically are not redundant. You know, that's one thing that it's kind of amazing to me, and I've asked guys, and I could name names, but I'm not going to, but there'll be names you know. Why don't you do something where you have some redundancy built in? And their response is usually it's too expensive. Well, if I take down the data center, how expensive is that? So you look at the control system for a data center and you have outliers. You got a cooling tower that's sitting outside. If I wanted to go out there, I could dump a bunch of whatever into the cooling tower. If you don't have a camera on it, you're not going to see me do that. Also, the gensets. The gensets are sitting out in the back parking lot if the cameras are not working or they're not covered well. This is the vulnerability that you don't find in IT networks, is nobody knows when you connect to that network. So I could go to a generator, and I could pull off that Modbus TCP Cat5 cable, plug it into my laptop. There'll be no bells and whistles that says I'm a foreign device like it would be on a standard IT network. Because if you just plug into the IT network and it doesn't know you're supposed to be there, it's not going to let you on. However, the control system network has no oversight. So I could plug into that generator. I could go in. If it is a smart ATS, automatic transfer switch, and it has the ability to be controlled, I could flip it, the building out of phase. Now, I was actually at one large IDC, and it was by accident. It wasn't, and this is what gave me this thought, is they accidentally transferred a new set of PDUs out of phase, and it was like a huge fuse. All those 600 amp feeds and everything just burn up, and the panel blew out of the wall. So there's, you know, there's the physical security aspect of it, where we have been installing, and I'm pointing the finger at myself, is we've been installing systems with very little or no fault to physical security, like a generator who's sitting out in the back parking lot with no oversight, no surveillance. So that's the other side of this too, is if you want to go into a data center, you want to get into an IT asset, you're going to have an access control card to get into that server room. You can go into most building you can go into building engineers' offices in the front end and sitting on the desk in there. Or you can go into a central plant, drop a little device in there if you would like, and then you've got access remotely to the system. So I hope that answers the question.
Oh boy, that's rich, very rich answer there, Fred. Kenny, hold your question real quick, but I want to ask, Fred, you mentioned like in the IT networks, if it finds a foreign device, it won't let it in. Is that something that could be built into BAS controls? Would that be a part of the solutions?
Yes. In fact, there are a couple of companies that are trying to do that now. They are coming from the traditional ICS space. And for those of you that don't know, ICS is industrial control system. And we kind of get lumped into that group. But those systems control oil and gas, electrical, so on and so forth. And they're a lot more sophisticated. So they have these devices, what they do is they do whitelisting. So they'll say, okay, here's everything that should be on this network. I'm going to lock everything down where the only things that can talk are these devices. In our world, everything talks. Remember, we've all been looking for open systems. Well, we got them. So these outside entities and I've been talking to a few of them, you know, they ask me questions, I answer them. But they're looking at putting possibly one of them is talking about replacing the switches that are in the system. And what these switches will do will basically map out the network and say, okay, I know these things are good. And if you agree with it, we're going to lock it down to that point. Of course, the guys at Linkspring, they have CyberPro, and that lets you securely remotely access the system. So there is some movement, but we still got a long way to go.
Well, it's pretty grim information, Fred, but again, we have to hear it. And
Welcome to my world.
Well, you know, because I was in security. I was in the Air Force for 9 years. I worked in private security for another 6 years. And I used to do consulting on security, and nobody took it serious. It was like security was the first thing off the budget. And it was only important during some kind of a crisis, and then everybody backseat drove it. Why didn't we do this? Why didn't we have that? And then as soon as things calmed down a little bit, a Teflon mentality we seem to have forgets how dangerous and how bad things were and just goes to the most critical concern. And again, security is always given that third or fourth, you know, burner on the stove. So, but I think that we are making progress. I think with insurance, I think that's the sledgehammer that's going to wake everybody up. We've got to have life insurance. We've got to have fire insurance. We've got to have flood insurance. I think that right now, and I just saw another notification from our insurance company that they're now offering cybersecurity insurance. And so I don't think there's any question about it. You're going to have to do it. And then, it's never going to get easier. I think what you said, something reminded me of an old term we used, which was the 4 Ds of security. You know, you deter. You can't stop crime. You can't stop cybersecurity, but you can send it somewhere else. And unfortunately, that's the reality. And if it does happen, you want to be able to detect it. You want to know it happened. So there's your supervisory capability inside those building management systems. And then you want to slow things down. You want to delay. So you want to have layers of security to make it harder. So each time it gets a little bit more difficult. And then finally, it'd be really nice if you could catch it, detain. You know, so that was the 4 Ds we used to always sell in security. So it sounds like we need to do something like that with cybersecurity. But I really applaud your work, because I think in the year that we've really covered the cybersecurity trend, we've educated what we have available on the website, and we welcome everybody to go there, is that you actually have a couple of checklists that are available. Mm-hmm. The one where you said pre-act or react. I mean, mm-hmm. just give us kind of the 411 on how I said you should rip that off and put it on your refrigerator, print it out and put it on the company break room so everybody can do it. But it's everybody's problem, but this tell us a little bit about that. And how that could help an organization at least take an appreciable response.
Well, okay. But before we move over to that, if I can, just to add one more layer to the insurance piece of this is, and I know you guys are familiar with this, but it's good and bad, but we've also had the government step in. That's ironic, because they've been hacked pretty well recently. But anyway, the FTC, or the Federal Trade Commission, now has the authority to sue you. So, I have these posts on control trends, but they have the authority to sue you if you're not doing due diligence. Wyndham got sued, and the ruling came down from higher up federal courts that said, yes, they can be sued. So now the government has that in their back pocket. Just as I was getting ready to do this critical facility summit in October up in Charlotte, while I was doing that and I was putting those stats on, I just kept looking through stuff. Well, now the SEC, our Security Exchange Commission, can fine you. So you've got insurance rates going up. You got the FTC that if you're not doing your job or is perceived that you're not doing your due diligence to protect your client's assets, you can get sued, and the SEC can fine you. So, that's going to push things along, I think.
Well, unless you're Hillary Clinton, and in which case you can just have a server in your bathroom.
Absolutely. All right, we just got on somebody's radar. Anyway, no, but so the things that I really want to go to your question, Ken, is the things that I really want people, if they will take the time to look at this, and I've also got a link to, and it's from ICS CERT, it's from the Department of Homeland Security, and it's basically a more involved checklist than what I have, but what I did was I took that and others and kind of boiled them down, and here's the thing that you need to really put some effort and time into, is an incident response plan. Now, that may not sound, or some people, that may be even a foreign concept, but the bottom line is what an incident response plan is, and this is aside from getting your cyber insurance and then going and getting and auditing all your stuff, but the incident response plan is what happens when you get breached, because you don't want to figure that out after the breach happens. We could cite a couple of examples that everybody knows. I mean, some of the way that the Target breach was handled, the incident response plan, I'm not saying that it wasn't good, but for some reason things got way out of control. And then our friends, Fazio, is that the correct pronunciation, Ken?
Yeah, Fazio Mechanical.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So they got hurt they got kind of hurt in the fray.
Well, you could say Fazio. I'm sorry. Fazio. Fazio, it doesn't matter. We know who it is.
All right. So then fast forward a little bit. How many of us have heard much, if anything, about the Anthem breach, the Blue Cross Blue Shield? Think about it. There hadn't been a whole lot of talk about that, but the information that was released from there was, you know, everybody's medical records. Well, that's pretty good. That's high dollar on the black market. But the reason is, if you look how they handled that whole situation, is the president had a letter out to the public, not just to individual, but to the entire world, saying, we've been breached. This is what's happening. These are the steps that we're taking. That's what an incident response plan is. And then you need to identify those people inside your company who are the mouthpiece, because you don't want everybody talking, because somebody may say something that may put you in deeper hot water. But anyway, I just really encourage people to take a look at it, not because I put it together, but, and I appreciate you pointing that out, Ken, but just take that and then even go deeper. Go to the DHS and spend a little time, develop your team inside of your company that's what their focus is, that they're prepared. It's a fire drill. That's what it is.
Well, Fred, I want everybody listening here to know that it says, Fred Gordy asks, are you ready to react or pre-act? And we entitled that Critical Information Contained Within. And again, as a reminder to everyone, if you take this post to print it out and circulate it among your sweet people and everybody, because everybody's responsible. It's another thing, too, is that everybody wants to point the finger when the time comes, but everybody's responsible to identify people and maintain the strength of their link, of that chain. But I think one other thing before we go past this post here is that there were some facts and figures that you put on there about the number of, 100% of the victims have up-to-date antivirus software, so that's not the solution.
Mm-mm.
63% of the breaches are reported by third parties, so the people, they don't even know they got breached. And 243 days is the number of days that the attackers have been on the network before being detected, and 100% of the breaches involved stolen credentials. So just, if you would, touch slightly over the perceptions that people think they have protection or they have an active cybersecurity program in effect when all they're really thinking is incorrect, it's antivirus software.
Yes. And let me say this to that is you need to make sure that everybody in your organization is realizing that they are as much a part of the cybersecurity team as IT is. It can't be just IT. Because what happens, you listed that about the 100% of the breaches, major breaches, have been done with valid credentials. Well, that's because somebody clicked an email. And if you're familiar with the term phishing, and I know you guys are, but it's basically phishing with a PH. They're sending out these emails hoping that somebody's going to click the link, and you just launched a keylogger on the machine. So now I can capture your username and password. So, these facts are not from me. These are from Mandiant, which is now a FireEye company. Mandiant also is the company that came in and secured up Target after the fact. So these guys they have a lot of good credentials. But yes, the antivirus software. I remember when I first started working in IT, and then started seeing things like McAfee and Norton come out. And it was apparent to me pretty early on that you can do all of this, but all it takes is one person clicking something that pokes a hole through it. Because antivirus I'm not going to tell his name, but I got another friend of mine. He just doesn't get the fact that he spent all this money on a Norton antivirus suite and he still got a virus. And he said, why aren't they doing a better job? Well, the guys that are the ones that are attacking you, the guys who are defending us are not, they're not soothsayers. They can't look in a crystal ball and see what it is they're going to do, because this is all software. So I say that to say this is antivirus software. I'm not saying it's you don't do it. Yes, you do it. But don't think that and lull yourself into a sense of security, false sense of security that, okay, well, I'm good now. So you got people that are poking through the antivirus, known credentials are being used. The amount of time that they're on there, like you said, it's 243 days. And it just goes back to what I said at first, is everybody has to be a part of the cybersecurity awareness platform inside your company. Now, I don't care who it is. If they touch a computer, if they have a cell phone that's owned by the company, they have to be a part of this and be aware and be diligent in keeping the company assets safe for no other reason. If some people like, well, why do I care? You should care because you want to have a job the next day.
So, Fred, I think one of the things that is key to this, and I think you're doing it and guys like Mark Petock are doing it, is awareness and the importance of it. And Kenny and I, just sort of to keep the spotlight on it, we have created, or ask you to create, I should say, a Control Trends Award, which is going to be, for lack of a better term, the Cybersecurity Award or the Cybersecurity Sheriff Award. I don't know. What are you going to call it? And tell us what that's going to be all about.
You know, I'm back and forth on that. I think the sheriff idea is a really good one. But something that kind of popped up in this week is something along the lines of CSI. But either way, what it is, and let me thank you guys for the opportunity and the venue to do this. And I appreciate what you guys are doing because you're helping push the message down the road about cybersecurity. So I want to thank y'all for that. But basically, this award is going to be aimed at people or a person who is, carrying the torch, so to speak, who's really doing a lot in our industry. And even it could involve people on the outside of our industry who have come into our industry as a friend and not a foe. They're really trying to help us, and there are people out there that are doing that. So again, I want to thank you guys for this opportunity.
Well, you're very welcome. So is it going to be like you're the sheriff, the cyber sheriff, and you're going to have deputies and stuff like that,
yeah,
or have you decided yet?
No, I mean, that's the way I'm leaning, absolutely. And we're going to work in a little something about a hat.
Oh, there you go.
We'll just leave it like that.
Okay, sounds good. Well, speaking of the Control Trends Awards, I think you probably know that we added another new category this year, which is Systems Integrator of the Year. And we got, it was one of our hottest categories, if you will, Fred, because we didn't know a lot of them. So virtually everybody that was on that nomination ballot was nominated from the outside. And the top six go on to the finals. And one of them, I think you can tell us a little bit about, was a company in Atlanta called McKinney's.
Absolutely.
So they made it. What can you tell our Control Trends community about McKinney's?
Well, let me say this first. I worked with those guys for 9 years. I didn't leave there for any other reason other than working with SmartCore. It's more cybersecurity focused. But let me just say this, and I think most of the people from the Southeast know this, is McKinney's has always set themselves up to be customer focused and, you know, even to the detriment sometimes of themselves. And by that I mean is they're going to try to make sure that when they turn the system over, that the system is good to go and the customer is not going to expect any issues with the system. It's a great company. All the guys that are there, my friends, and I'm just really excited for them.
Well, me too. It's a great company, and I just have one thing to say to Leroy Walden and the rest of the team over there. First of all, actually two things. First of all, congratulations, and secondly, have you considered Honeywell and Johnson Controls? We know Snyder Electric is a good brand, but your friendly neighborhood distributor here would love to work with you more on that building automation stuff.
Absolutely. So.
Well, hey. Fred, I had one thing, Eric, and to revisit. Fred, we have a very important event planned. The forces at work weren't favorable, so it was delayed. Tell us about the remount or the future date of the cybersecurity summit that was scheduled for Georgia Tech Research Institute.
Okay, what we've done is, and this is something that we've all agreed to, and for those of you that don't know this, I mean, Mark Petock is involved with this as well. And the one thing that we don't want to do is for this to be anything other than stellar, excellent. And so, you know, we were really pushing hard to have this thing in the first quarter of 2016. But as we've had an opportunity to take a step back and some of the things that, we've had meetings about and that kind of thing, it just makes more sense to, we're looking at sometime in the third quarter of 2016. But again, this is not a dog and pony show. This is something that when the people that come to it walk out of there, they walk out of there with something that they can go back and use. So, and the people at Georgia Tech, I got to give them major kudos, because they've really been behind this and have, you know, offered up their facilities, and we're looking forward to putting it on. We just want to wait a little bit and make sure that we do it right.
Awesome. I completely agree, and for our listeners who might not know, this is really for the building automation controls professionals. So as you mentioned earlier in the show, Fred, IT covers such a range of stuff. So this is really honing it down for what your building automation controls engineer needs to know about cybersecurity.
Absolutely.
Cool. All right. Our guest is the one and only Fred Gordy from SmartCore. Fred, before we hop off, tell our listeners a little bit about SmartCore and what you guys do.
Well, SmartCore takes a very holistic approach to building integration, but they don't just stop there. What they are is at the heart and soul of who they are is in 2008 when they kicked off. They're a Cisco alumnus who started this company. And so their approach has always been to do a holistic network engineering slash architecture that is secure. And that's what attracted me to them. And what they did was they recognized early on that these merging systems such as control systems, access control systems, surveillance, digital signage, so on and so forth, plus the original IT assets needed to be able to live and play inside the same IT infrastructure, and also to make these networks where they have the capacity to be able to take all this. So SmartCore is called a master systems integrator, and that, like I say, it encompasses not only control systems, but all the others that I mentioned, but IT at its core and IT securely. So we've been able to put together, myself and some of the other guys, we've put together a cybersecurity audit that goes way beyond what the CATA questions, which CATA stands for criticality and threat assessment. But that's a little bit about what we do. So,
how do people get hold of you, Fred? What's the website, smartcore.com? Or?
Yeah, it's smartcore.com. And if you have any questions for me, I mean, I'm on LinkedIn, hit me up, or on Twitter at F40.
And also on Control Trends.
Yeah,
you can get this. Fred's one of our contributors on Control Trends, which, again, Fred, thank you so much for all you do for the Control Trends community. We really appreciate it. And, hey, you mind hanging on real quick while we sign off with us? You get to be the official Kenny Smyers exit here.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, first of all, what are you up to for Thanksgiving, guys?
We're going to have a pretty lonely Thanksgiving. I think we're going to go over my brother Jesse's house, but our two daughters they're busy elsewhere, so they're going to have a good time. And Reed and I will probably just stay local, go to Uncle Jesse's.
Cool. How about you, Fred?
You got a lot of family coming in. We're going to eat a lot.
Nice, nice, nice. Well, we head out to Arizona. And just for all those people out there who might be interested in my house, we do have my brother-in-law, the next Navy SEAL, and his buddies will be staying at my house while I'm gone. So they've set up target practice in the backyard to practice with the knives and all. But because of that, we may or may not have a show next week. So I want to wish everybody a very happy Thanksgiving in advance. So we can't get the internet working out in Arizona. We'll catch up with you the next week. So with that, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Control Talk Now, the Smart Buildings podcast. Special thanks to our guest, Fred Gordy from SmartCore. And, of course, the man, the myth, the legend, the one, the only, Kenny Smyers. So with that, have a great week. And remember, stay in control.
Indeed, Eric.
Oh, you missed your cue, Fred. Hang on. We'll do it again. So as soon as I say, remember, stay in control, you and Kenny go indeed together, okay?
Oh, okay.
And so, remember, stay in control.
Indeed, Eric.
There we go. That's it. Indeed, Kenny and Fred.
All right.
Well done.